what's your first impression when you heard the name Charlie Montoyo as the new manager of the Toronto Blue Jays?
You know, a lot of the things that you said right there, George, come to mind. I mean, when you look at Montoyo, he's definitely someone who's paid his dues. When you think about managing at the AAA level for that long, managing in the minors for that long, playing for a long period of time and making it to the major leagues only for a handful of games. So this is someone who is intimately familiar with the grind of what it means to go through a major league baseball season. And as you said as well, he's someone who works with the Rays or did work with the Rays until today. So that's a really innovative organization, one that's really progressive, and that's where the Blue Jays want to go with this hire. So whether Montoyo can put that into practice or how successful he is at trying to put that into practice is going to play a big part in determining where the Blue Jays go as a franchise. This is a huge hire for them. It's probably the biggest hire that Ross Atkins has made since coming over here as GM a few seasons ago. And by all indications, Charlie Montoyo a really good pick as Blue Jays manager, but you don't make your name as a manager on the day you're hired. And every hire looks pretty good on day one, but so far so good. Now he's got to go out there and prove it on the field with this Blue Jays team.
So when you look at the organization that he's coming from, Ben, and with Tampa Bay, and as you mentioned on the, you know, the cutting edge and a very innovative franchise, and Ross Atkins has mentioned the Rays, he's mentioned the Astros as well. You know, what is it about those franchises that Ross Atkins is so enamored with? Is it on the player development side? Is it things that they do at the major league level? Are there certain aspects about those organizations that Ross Atkins really appreciates and is hoping to bring to Toronto?
Yeah, I think both. And player development, I mean, Montoyo has been a part of that. When you look back through the Rays teams that made their way up to the majors in the course of the last 10 years, there are a lot of really talented players, your Chris Archers and your Alex Cobbs, even dating back to Evan Longoria and David Price. They've had a lot of talent flow through that system, and Montoyo has been one of the people guiding that talent to the major leagues. So development is one aspect of it. And then I think, too, you look to what those teams do in-game at the major league level. And just to cite one example, they make sure that their players have information cards. They make sure that in the dugout, they have lots of information available on pitcher tendencies, on batter tendencies. And it's, of course, a fine line because these guys are athletes. They are out there competing in the heat of the moment. So you can't overwhelm them with information, but it's there. And you want to provide them with that information, or else you're going to get passed by teams like the Houston Astros, and they're going to be the ones with the World Series rings at the end of the season, not you. So this is one way that you can gain an advantage in baseball, and the Rays have shown, this year we saw with the opener, they've shown that they can be an innovative team. So that's one thing that the Blue Jays are going to look to do more of in the next couple of seasons. And Montoyo is someone who has walked that line of not going in there on day one and overwhelming players with asks that are unrealistic or don't really show the proper respect to the challenges of being a major league player, but at the same time that nudge them in a direction that can allow the team to be competitive over the course of a long season.
Ben, where was Charlie Montoyo here on the radar for the original search for the manager of the Blue Jays? Because we heard a lot of names. Baldelli was there, Espanda. There's a lot of guys out there. Paul Molitor's name, I think the fans were interested in. Well, how did he emerge as the top candidate here with the Blue Jays?
Well, we're going to hear more from Ross Atkins on this in a few days. But my understanding is that Montoyo was on the initial list of candidates the Blue Jays considered. His name didn't leak out there until recently. You're absolutely right about that. But I'm not exactly sure. Was that a question of it just didn't leak out because it was something the Blue Jays kept quiet, or it didn't leak out because they circled back to him a little bit later on in the process? One thing is clear. He's someone who had a lot of interest. The Rays, of course, wanted to keep him as their bench coach. The Reds interviewed him before hiring David Bell. The Blue Jays obviously had interest. So there comes a point when at a certain threshold in the careers for some of these guys where they're pretty much in demand, and Montoyo had gotten to that point, and certainly no surprise that the Blue Jays showed some interest.
So it's kind of interesting, Ben, you know, that this front office, of course, has taken some heat, as you know, since arriving to Toronto, coming from Cleveland, and not exactly, you know, being able to, I guess, you know, really get the sense of, you know, what it's like to run the Blue Jays here in Canada. But you have a guy now in Charlie Montoyo who obviously spent a lot of time in Canada with the Ottawa Lynx and spending some time with the Montreal Expos as well. We heard today, of course, played a bit of a mentorship role with a young Vladimir Guerrero Sr. during his days with Montreal. How much do you think that played a factor into his hiring today?
I wonder. I mean, if I was the Blue Jays, I don't think I'd weigh it that heavily, to be honest, just because Ottawa in 1994 or Montreal in 1993 is just such a different thing. It's a different place, different time than Toronto in 2018. So, you know, I wouldn't think that they would have weighed it that heavily in relation to his experience and his communication skills and his openness to new ideas. I would think that those would be the real difference makers, but it can't hurt to have some familiarity with Canada and some history with the Montreal Expos. I'm sure that he will mention it and address it when he's introduced here in Toronto on Monday. And, you know, it never hurts to have that kind of background, that kind of connection to a market. But, you know, I think ultimately you've got to hire the person, not hire their experiences or hire them because they worked in a certain city. So I hope for the Blue Jays' sake that they didn't hire him based on the relatively small connection to Canada.
Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor for Sportsnet.ca, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. That's Rob. I'm George. How critical was the new manager of the Blue Jays to be bilingual?
It's a good question. You know, I think it's something that helps. I know there's a school of thought out there that says they need a bilingual manager, especially with guys like Vlad Jr. coming up and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. There are a lot of prominent Spanish-speaking players throughout this organization, and so it is definitely an advantage. But I think that David Bell, for example, who was hired by the Reds, would have been a really strong candidate here too. And Rocco Baldelli, who just was named the Twins manager, would have been a really interesting candidate too. And if those guys were hired, I think that would have been completely justified, Spanish speakers or not. So, you know, when it comes to dealing with Vlad Jr. and integrating him into the major leagues in the third week of April, once they've delayed his service time enough to get that seventh year of control, then that's really going to help Charlie Montoyo, because he's going to be able to speak to him in his first language. But Vlad Jr. has some English. That will probably become more and more so the case with each passing year. And other Blue Jays players also do too. So that's, again, it is way better to have a bilingual manager, and this is an attribute that definitely helps Charlie Montoyo's case. But I would think that higher on the list for the Blue Jays would be his experience, again, his communication skills, which we're going to get a sense of in a few days, and the willingness to implement new ideas, the willingness to try things and be at the forefront of where Major League Baseball is going.
Yeah, and you mentioned the innovation and where this team might go heading into next season, and I think that's going to be the really interesting part for me. I'm not saying the Blue Jays are, you know, going to go with an opener, but it should be interesting to see, you know, how long starters are left in the game, bullpen usage, those type of things. Like I feel like next year, you know, since, you know, the tie between John Gibbons and Kevin Pillar, and, you know, a veteran guy like Russell Martin isn't there anymore, Ben, that, you know, there won't be times where Kevin Pillar is hitting cleanup, or, you know, Russell Martin, who is barely hitting above his weight at times, was, you know, batting ahead of a red hot Randall Grichuk. I feel like maybe, you know, lineup construction, bullpen usage, starter usage, things like that, maybe a little bit more efficient under a guy like Charlie Montoyo.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. I think that we could see some more innovation on that front. But at the same time, John Gibbons played the hand he was dealt. And, you know, I think that when you look at some of the rosters the Blue Jays had last year,
yeah,
man, like they did not have a good team. So I think that, you know, as Atkins has said all along, and Gibbons, of course, would never say this, but I'm sure he's aware of the fact that he wasn't handed a good roster relative to other major league teams. You look right now at the Red Sox and the Dodgers, and my goodness, those teams are just way deeper, way better than what the 2018 Blue Jays were. So, yeah, I think Montoyo is, in all likelihood, he's going to be someone who is more innovative. And that's because that was a priority for the Blue Jays when they made this hire and when they began this process. So I do think that'll be the case. But it's one thing to do that when you're in Game 7 of the World Series. It's probably another thing to try that in the fourth week of May when your team's already 10 games under 500, you know, it's going to be a challenge. This is not an easy job. And I think that Montoyo is going to have the benefit of the doubt. I think Blue Jays fans will give him a chance to, you know, see who he is and see what he can offer. But, you know, he's not going to have a contending team next year in all likelihood. So it's a challenge to be a manager for the first time, get to know an entire organization, a new front office, a new training staff, new media, new environment, all those different things, and then try to keep your players motivated. So he's signing up for a big job here. There's no doubt about that. It's a big opportunity for him because of all the talent coming up in Toronto. But it's going to be fun to see what he can do, and it will certainly be different than what we're used to with John Gibbons.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point that you make about, you know, next year immediately and this team not being a contender, probably not going to make the playoffs. It's going to be a rebuild season. We're going to see a lot of these young guys, and just to see, you know, how the fan base reacts to that. I mean, I think everybody understands what's going to happen next year, so the expectations are going to be lower for this team. But, you know, if this team is really bad next year, Ben, like, how much of it is going to be put on Charlie Montoyo, how much is it going to be put on the front office? I just think it's going to be an interesting dynamic just to see where it goes, because like you said, I don't think anybody's expecting, you know, much of this team next year as far as, you know, a push for the playoffs or anything of that, you know, nature.
Yeah, and I think the question is how the Blue Jays are going to struggle next year, because if they struggle because the number 4 and 5 starters in the rotation that they sign in free agency this January just have bad years, I think everyone's okay with that. If they struggle because Vlad Jr. pulled a hamstring and misses 3 months, and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. really slumps, and Randall Grichuk just can't connect and strikes out 210 times, then all of a sudden the entire conversation around this team would shift. And that's not to say that they're dependent on any one player. I mean, that's the whole idea of developing a really strong farm system, is that you have a lot of talent and you're not just relying on one superstar to carry you to the promised land. But I do think that the big question next year for me, it isn't so much where their record ends up, but how they get there. And Montoyo is going to have a big role in setting that tone and setting that culture around this team, which is one of the big reasons the Blue Jays wanted to make that change in the first place.
Well, Ben, you talked about how he had 18 years of minor league managerial experience, which is tremendous. And let's just go under the assumption that the Blue Jays aren't going to be competing for a playoff spot within the next couple of years, and this guy was brought in to be a teacher for this team. Do you see this guy being potentially a manager for this team for years to come, or is he kind of like a bridge manager to help develop these young guys, and then let's get, you know, somebody else in here to kind of put him over the top? Do you see him as that kind of guy, or is he like, this is the guy for the foreseeable future, and if he's here 10 years, great. If he's not, well, we'll look somewhere else.
Yeah, I think with the Blue Jays, they're in a position now where they have this young wave of talent. And if it starts to go well and Montoyo's the guy and he's able to get the most out of his players, and if he's able to, you know, put out fires and keep his players motivated, deal well with the front office, all those different things, then I see no reason that this would only be a 1 or 2 year thing. I mean, certainly the other side holds true as well, where at some point the Blue Jays are going to fire Charlie Montoyo, because that's what happens with major league managers. They're hired to be fired. And that's the reality of it. One that John Gibbons faced basically on a monthly basis for the last 5 years that he was in town, is there are always going to be rumors. But I think that if there's clear progression, and if the Blue Jays develop in the way that they hope to as a team, and we start to see that progress of the farm system coming up in waves and really, really starting to improve, we've seen it with the Cubs, for example, where they end up bringing in Joe Maddon, they bring in a heavy hitter, and so that thought is going to exist. But to me, if he shows in the next couple of years that he's really good at this and that he deserves this chance and that experience in the minors is really paying off, I just don't see any reason why you'd want to replace him if he's doing a good job.
One more for me, Ben, and obviously lost in all of this managerial talk about the Blue Jays today, a little nugget dropped by John Heyman of FanCred Sports today in his piece up on their website, saying, quote, "The Jays aren't a certainty to pick up Justin Smoke's $7 million option." And at first glance, that definitely struck me as odd, because I know he didn't replicate his 2017 season, but I thought Justin Smoke was still a pretty solid contributor. And based on that $7 million, it feels like pretty good value for first base guys guy that, you know, can give you some pretty good production on both sides of the ball. Have you heard anything about that? And now that you may or may not know about it, what are your thoughts on that potentially happening?
Yeah, when Ross Atkins was asked about it after the season ended, he indicated that the Blue Jays would likely be picking the option up without saying this much. In really concrete terms, but that was certainly the impression that I had. And the impression was that, of course, they would decline on Solarte, which is their other team option. So, you know, you wonder, is that a little bit of an indication to other teams to say, hey, if you want, then give us a call on Smoke and see if there's a conversation to be had here. I think Smoke did a good job. I think that the last couple of years he's shown that he's a really capable first baseman on both sides of the ball, and they haven't had a lot of steady contributors in the last couple seasons, but he's been one of them. So I think there's something to be said for that. If you're looking to make a move, I would be willing to eat a lot of money on the Kendrys Morales contract and try to free up the DH spot. Nothing against Morales, but you know, having that open DH is really the way that teams are operating in this day and age. And so that would be the one I'd try to move first. Granted, more difficult. Smoke, no guarantees, it seems, but I do expect that they would pick that option up.